pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is Akanksha, a mindset and well-being coach. Akanksha helps individuals and organizations align purpose, rewire mind, raise vibration, enrich well-being to live a life of abundance and freedom. After her only son, Arnav, crossed over in 2020, her spiritual awakening helped her connect with and seek guidance from higher realms and dimensions. She wrote and published a book, The Untold Legend, Rise of a Mother, in 30 days with guidance from her son and higher beings that she connects with. Her book has become a number one bestseller in special education and ranked as a bestseller in well-being, education, biology, and journals categories. She has founded a non-profit, Arnav Memorial Foundation, in his memory, with a mission to enrich health and well-being and expand consciousness through holistic education and science research interventions. She has been a corporate facilitator for senior leaders and has coached senior and executive corporate leaders in her exclusive coaching programs. She has created special online courses for teens and young adults with inspiration from her son. She has thousands of students across all ages in her several online programs. She has received several awards in the corporate world. Listen in as Akanksha shares her journey from the little girl who loved life to the one who's now leading a life full of meaning and purpose. Hi, Akanksha. Such a pleasure to have you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. You are somebody who does so many different things, but I love how you're an author, you're a mindfulness coach, you're a business coach, you coach young adults. You also talk about the beingness of and consciousness, expansion of consciousness. So before we get to the calm Akanksha who talks about all of this, how was little Akanksha to the Akanksha that the world knows you today as? Would love to know your journey.
Wow. Thank you so much for having me here. I admire your work too. And it's absolutely a pleasure to be here. As little Akanksha, my childhood has been challenging. I lost my mother when I was 11 years old. It has been a challenging journey, but there's so much to learn. And I would say that my life has been a huge roller coaster ride. I believe that a soul chooses what the lesson it wants to learn during the lifetime and what experiences it wants to gain during a lifetime to have the evolution of the soul. And that is why probably I have had so many things in my lifetime. So, yeah, my childhood was normal middle class kind of family, but very high values. I completed my graduation in architecture, after which I was going to go abroad. I had got admissions and full scholarships in five universities, didn't get my visa as a potential immigrant. And so I did my MBA here in one of the top B schools. Then I shifted my career. So interesting thing is, I shifted my career 6 or 7 times successfully in my life. So from architecture, I shifted to finance, from finance to IT, and then ended up working in IT for many years. But little Akanksha, I would say, was very different from this Akanksha that you see here. In fact, my name was also different. My maiden name is different. It's Sangeeta. And I was quite different. And I would say that I didn't consider that I would fit into any of the paradigms as such since my childhood. And that is something that is standing out. I have done many things in life along with my career also. Like I have been a fitness enthusiast, so I was aerobics instructor. I used to swim 1,000 meters. I've been a spiritual teacher. So
God, I think I should change my question now. What have you not done?
Oh no, there are so many things that are still to be done. If I have to think about my journey, I would say that I have been I have died many deaths, and it sounds very crude or it sounds very harsh to say this, but this is what I have experienced, that I have died many deaths and reborn. And I wouldn't say I have reinvented myself, because this goes beyond reinventing myself. This is literally like, and especially in the past 3 years after my kid crossed over and I have had a spiritual awakening, and I have been able to connect with him spiritually and access higher dimensions. This has been, the last 3 years has been a very different journey from what I have had throughout my life. But even then, I have always been interested in spirituality since my childhood. And I learned meditation very early in my high school. So there are some threads that are common throughout my life, like spirituality and being a seeker, knowing, I would say, existential questions, knowing about that. But apart from that, as a person, I have grown so much, and I have experimented with so many things in life. So little Akanksha was very different from what I am today. That's what I can say.
Yeah, I can see that. When it comes to the spiritual seeking that you said, all of us, and it's very famously told that we are spiritual beings in a human journey. When it comes to spirituality and so many other things that you spoke about as what you did as a calling, and from an IT person who's completely into science, technology, and logic, how did you come into the space of spirituality? You said that the thread was already there when you were a little girl and it continued. So those common threads, I'm sure, is where it got picked up. But to go completely into the space of mindfulness, consciousness, expansion of consciousness, abundance, these are concepts that logical thinkers do not accept very easily. So, what drew you into that space? And in the process of doing all of this, did you at any chance find the purpose behind your soul searching? And how did you do that?
So that's a very profound question that you asked. My upbringing was pretty religious. My granny, my mom's side, they are from a village here near Pune. I stay in Pune, Maharashtra. So there's a village called as Murga, and there is what do you call that? There is something called as Ashtavinayak, where you actually, like how you do Kashi Dham, like that, there is this Ashtavinayak. So in that, first and the last stop is Murga. And there is Ganesha. So there, my childhood was mostly there in the vacations, and all we used to go there. And the chanting, Sanskrit chanting, we learned very early, like from 3 years old, we learned Sanskrit chanting. So that and being devoted to Ganesha, so that something was came very naturally to me. But after my mother passed away, for a few years, you get influenced by the books you read, and I am an avid reader. I used to read a book a day, kind of. I used to read a lot of Ayn Rand, and I became an atheist for a few years in my life after that. I used to kind of, I used to think that why would God do such a thing? That if I'm praying, then why is it that I lost my mother? And I didn't have answers, and I had a difficult childhood. And that's why for a few years I turned atheist. But later on I realized that it's not God who's doing all of this, that this is all the play of the universe. And each soul has certain karma to kind of redeem, learn certain lessons in each lifetime. And we have soul contracts based on which we decide what we want to learn and what karma we want to kind of finish in lifetime. And I realized this pretty early in my 20s. And then from atheist, again, I turned back to spirituality. So I realized that atheist doesn't explain everything. And I have been from science and technology background since my childhood. And yes, so essentially, people who are very, very left-brained, logical, analytical, and I have been that also. But I believe in holistic thinking, whole brain thinking. And your creativity, your intuition that comes from the right brain part of it. And I realized that there are so many things which are extrasensory, which cannot be explained by science. There are so many things that science is learning now and explaining now, which are rishis and sages. I have studied extensively Vedic scriptures, and even recently I started studying Buddhism also. So I realized that even physicists, if you know Niels Bohr, Heisenberg, and Erwin Schrödinger, these are quantum physicists, and they studied Upanishads extensively, and they knew the kind of bridge between science and spirituality, and that is what my now purpose is, to help people expand consciousness through both science and spirituality. So people who are, and I have extensive corporate background as well, and this is what I have been doing, that along with my corporate background, I have been a spiritual teacher, and I have studied spirituality, our scriptures, all the different techniques and the spiritual practices alongside my corporate job. Finally, in 2018, I realized that it is my calling to move into this completely. And in 2020, after my kid crossed over, there was a huge spiritual awakening which kind of helped me to completely change my outlook about everything, and access higher dimensions. And now I have come to a point where I have realized the real multidimensional nature of myself. So in my life, I had always believed that your calling can change. It doesn't have to be stagnant, or your life purpose is never stagnant. And you can have multifold life purpose. Like as a mother, my life purpose is to take care of my child and love my child unconditionally, and do everything that is needed for my child, right? And women can relate with this. So as mother, your life purpose is different. As in corporate, your life purpose is different. Even on work front, your life purpose may go on changing. It's never a stagnant one. So that is something that you need to kind of all the time, ask yourself, what is it that is meant to serve through you? So each one of us has certain unique gifts and talents, and each one of us is here to contribute to humanity in certain way by using our gifts and talents. And that kind of, leads to your life purpose. So I help people actually uncover their life purpose and align your life with that. So this life purpose will go on changing. There is one life purpose which is underlying all of this, and that is constant for everybody. That is to realize who you truly are and self-realization. That is something that is common for everybody, I would say. And then this calling or life purpose that is at a in the life that you're living here on earth, that will go on changing as you go through life.
And in the process of this journey, what have you realized is your life purpose?
So now my life purpose is to help people expand consciousness through rewiring their mind, because we take up a lot of limiting beliefs and societal and cultural conditioning and our upbringing. Because of that, there are so many patterns and beliefs. Not just that, our DNA has encoded our ancestral intergenerational patterns that are encoded in our DNA. And we need to kind of change all of that. And we need to rewire our mind and DNA and raise our vibration, because only when we raise our vibration, we can access higher dimensions. And then enrich our well-being, because our well-being means being happy, peaceful, joyful, being loved. All these are actually our natural state of being. And we need to come back to that. So I help people do all of that and live a life of abundance and freedom. And I use various methodologies and approaches based on science and spirituality. So whether it's neuroscience, quantum physics, positive psychology, spirituality, all of these I combine. And then I want to make it relatable to people. Because everybody comes from different walk of life, and not everybody will have spirituality experience. People have various misconceptions about spirituality. So I do want to make it relatable to people and help people expand their consciousness. That's my life purpose.
I really like what you're putting together and how you're expressing it. But going on a very simple term, Akanksha, if you can explain spirituality in layman terms, because you spoke about expanding consciousness and spirituality is closely related to that. There are many people who very proudly proclaim, I'm not religious, but I'm very spiritual. There's other people who say that to get spiritual, maybe some people need to be religious first, and then that leads them to spirituality. So if you can simplify all of this for us, because you're deeply in that space, and tell us what is it that is being spiritual all about?
Wow. Okay. Yeah, actually, that's a very good question. Because even though my upbringing has been religious, I don't insist that you have to be a religious person in order to be spiritual. Essentially, I have studied many different religions, and I would say that being spiritual means being having that unity consciousness, having the values of love, joy, freedom, abundance, peace. That is what will make you spiritual. So and what we need to do is balance all of that. So let's say there is a social worker, okay, who's doing so much contribution and helping people going out of the way. But if that person, he or she, is not taking care of that himself or herself, then again, there is a lack of balance over there. So self-care and self-love are equally important. So like they say that put a mask, oxygen mask on yourself before you help others. Fill your cup first and then help others. So, as per my views, spirituality is having these values of unity consciousness and at the same time realizing that you are not just your physical body. So, yes, have all the material things. I'm not saying don't have them, but don't chase them because that will not give you meaningful and fulfilling life. And being spiritual means understanding that physical body is just one part of you as a whole. You are a multidimensional being. So your body is there, then your mind is there, your intellect is there, ego is there. And beyond ego, there is a self. There is your soul, and then there is universal soul. So there are different layers, and these are explained very well in Vedantic traditions. So you understand that, okay, you exist at the same time you exist on these multiple dimensions, and then live a life understanding that, okay, this physical life is only one part of it. Understand what are you here for, and then live life in alignment with that life purpose. That is spirituality.
It is very profound what you just said. Yes, we have heard all of this. We have read all of this, those of us who are interested. But for somebody who isn't familiar with all these terms, like you said, the soul contract. Now, this is again a term that we have read about and heard about. So when you say a soul contract, every soul that comes onto earth has a kind of a contracting that happens as to what they will do in this lifetime that they are here. Is that what a soul contract on very simple terms means?
That is soul blueprint.
Okay.
What soul contract is? Your contract with other souls. So there are certain soul contracts that you have because you have certain karma which you have to kind of balance out with other souls. So there are certain souls which who come into your life to balance out the karma. There are certain souls who come into your life to guide you on your path. There are certain souls who come into your life, so they get guided from you. So there are different types of soul contracts. And we don't meet people by accident. It's all in the soul blueprint. So your soul blueprint is what you come here with a plan that, okay, these are the lessons that I want to learn in this lifetime. So, for example, it can be as simple as, okay, I need to learn the lessons of being patient, or I need to learn the lesson of being, loving myself. Because, and that is something that is very important to expand your consciousness. And we are always told so many things, as if your emotions are not important, don't cry. Don't do this, don't do that. And you have to always think about others first, keep yourself the last, or you're not good enough. There's so much of competition, and you're told if you don't do this, you're not good enough. So your lesson is to feel worthy, feel that love for yourself. That is one of the lessons. So things like that. What you want to learn in this lifetime and what experiences you want to gain in this lifetime is something that is given in your soul blueprint. And soul contract is what you want to have, what kind of relationships you will have with other persons, and what kind of karma you will balance, and what whether you will help others or you'll be helped by others. All these are soul contracts.
Akanksha, for the layperson who is not that much into spirituality, how will they identify what their soul blueprint is, what their soul contract is? How do they identify that? Or doesn't everyone who come on earth identify their soul blueprint and soul contract? Is that also something based on past karma? Is there something like that?
Wow, that's a very good question. Many people don't even know that they have a soul blueprint and a soul contracts. And it is something that definitely everybody needs to learn because when you align your life in with your higher self, so many people don't even know that we have something called as higher self. As in, a part of us is always with the divine, the consciousness. And that part of us knows what is best for us. And that part of us is our only soul, but designs everything, our eternal soul, you can say. And part of that soul is projected as consciousness into this body. But that eternal soul is always there. So that higher self, we can say, decides your soul blueprint in consultation with your spirit guides and guardian angels. So this also is something, they call it as a modern age spirituality. This is something that is not there, probably very widely known. And that is one of the things that I am sharing in my coaching training mentoring programs, that each of us has a designated spirit guide and a designated guardian angel, and they're there to help you throughout your journey in this lifetime and across lifetimes. So some of them, depending on your soul purpose, they are there across lifetimes also. And then they help you decide, this is your soul blueprint. Now, when you are doing your soul blueprint, at the same time, because we are one consciousness, right? All of us are part of one consciousness. So we don't meet people by accident. We have certain soul contracts, and that's why we meet them, like you and I met here because of certain synchronicity. Yeah. So essentially, our souls have planned that, okay, we want to work out this karma, balance out this karma, and that's why we meet, or we want to get guided by certain souls or guide certain souls. So there are different purposes for which we have these soul contracts. And then that's how a soul evolves throughout his life, his or her life, whatever. Its life, I can say. So, how can you know what is your soul blueprint and what are the soul contract? And that's why you need coaches and teachers who are actually helping you to go deeper and understand that. So, for example, I help people uncover, okay, this is their life purpose. And I can't tell you what is your life purpose, but I can help you uncover that. You yourself, it will come from within you. And I will help coach and teach and then help you uncover that for yourself. And when you, if you don't know it, when you are in autopilot mode, and I'm not sure if you've seen the movie The Matrix, there are many sci-fi movies on this that touch upon these, so-called esoteric or, outside, more outside than regular norms, so to say. So there are so many who live in autopilot mode. You get educated in a certain way, and then because you are educated in a certain way, you take up job or you because you want to earn money, or there is a business that you inherited, you keep working in that, and then you keep thinking that, okay, that's your life. But that is not the only thing. You have to go beyond that and uncover what is there. And that is why people, even though you may be very famous and very rich and wealthy, but then still you will feel something is missing in your life. And you will not have meaning in your life. You will not feel fulfilled in your life. That's why you need to understand what is your soul blueprint and what are the soul contracts, and then what best you can do to learn those lessons for which you have come here, gain those experiences for which you have come here, and live your life purpose for which you have come here.
Wow. Okay. And you just said that that's where there are teachers and coaches who make the difference and help you find it. And sometime back, you also spoke about rewiring. So this rewiring is what your teacher and your coach helps you do, is it, while you get on the journey with them?
Absolutely. This reminds me of a quote by Einstein that your education is not just, and most of the education, if you see now in the schools and all schools, colleges, it's all about memorizing the facts and then putting them out in the exams. And yes, we do need some standardized mechanism to assess where the people are. But if you see, today's education is very going to be obsolete in, I would say, 5 years max because of the AI. All the information is available and everything is available. So education is not that. Education is training your mind to think in a different way. So thinking out of the box, using your imagination, wiring your brain in a different way, and it's called neuroplasticity in neuroscience, that we are used to thinking in a certain way and used to responding, or I would say reacting in a certain way. So for example, something triggers you, you will, suddenly get angry, or you will have certain responses. These are preconditioned responses. And because of the patterns and this conditioning that we have, whether it's cultural, societal, upbringing, limiting beliefs, some of it is ancestral or intergenerational patterns. Because of this, you will go on living in a certain way. And unless you change how you live, unless you change the way you do things, you doing the same thing will not give you different result, right? So you will have to change the ways you think, act, and then you will get different results in life.
And this is what this change that we need to do is where the coach and the teacher helps us in the rewiring.
Absolutely.
And how do we know that what we are doing is not in alignment with why we are here? Are there certain signs that we need to be completely active to listen to? Or are there indicators, or they're only available and recognized by people who are already on the journey?
Yeah, there are indicators. So for example, you have a lot of you have achieved everything, tick tick, accomplishments. You've done this, you've done that, you've done this, and still you feel that something is missing in your life. You feel that you are not happy in your life. That is one, that is the biggest indicator. Another indicator is, okay, you have maybe you are very happy in your work, and you have achieved what you want to achieve in your work. But somewhere you feel that you don't feel fulfilled in your relationships. There is something missing in the relationship. And when I say relationship, it's the relationship with yourself, not just with others. So when you feel that, okay, you are not fulfilled and something is missing, that is another indicator. Some other indicators are you're working very hard, but you are not getting the results because you're working hard and you don't know that, okay, what is it that is going wrong? I'm working hard, I'm doing everything that I need to do, I have acquired all the skills, and then why is it that I'm not getting the results? That may be a misalignment because that is not something that you're meant to do. Another indicator can be, yes, you are extremely good at some things. Like some of us are, like I call myself a multi-potentialite. Like as I said, like I used to be a fitness enthusiast, and but then I wouldn't continue doing that. Or I have many strengths, and all of us have multiple strengths. But doesn't mean that we live or do work based on only that which is aligned with our strengths, because that is not the only criteria. Only with that, even if you get results, you may still not feel very passionate about it. And that is when you will realize, okay, this is something that is not in alignment. So there are multiple such indicators that life will give you to let you know that, okay, this is not in alignment for what you came here for.
So, in a way, sitting down, connecting to the self is an integral part of finding out why we are here. And sometimes those conversations with the self help us understand how we can align, do we need to change? And all those questions may find answers, or at least we know we have to now search for our teacher. Those conversations are important. Now, I think just this one topic we can go on for hours, but there are so many aspects of who you are. I'm now curious to know about your book. Okay. You are an author and it's a best-selling book as well. But when it comes to writing, is your book also something connected with this, or your book is something which is completely different? What prompted you to become an author?
Yeah, so my son actually inspired me to become an author. I had started writing a book in 2018 or earlier to that, which was I was taking interviews of certain celebrities. I have friends and acquaintances who are celebrities, and I never finished it. And yeah, so I in certain ways, if I can, procrastinate. So that was the thing. But this is something that in me, this year, my kid, he I'm connected with him. He's an evolved soul. And even though he was a teenager when he crossed over, he also was an avid reader and very spiritual person. And he's an evolved soul. So he guides me. He's in a higher realm and he guides me. And he connects with me in my dreams, in my meditations. And he gives me messages. So the universe gives you messages. So he's one of my spirit guides. And I have other guides and angels also. And I have certain other higher beings that I connect with. So essentially, he used to literally wake me up every day and write and do write, kind of tell me. And I used to write early morning between 4 to 6. Like that is the time that is best for getting downloads, because that is a time when you can connect with your higher self, with the other beings who are your guides, angels and higher beings, and whatever you want to call universe, God, divine, you can connect with the higher power. That is the time when everybody is asleep and you have that serenity, calmness, peace of mind. And that is when you can get downloads. So that is how I wrote the book. So when I wrote the book, I started writing it based on mother-child relationship. So essentially, on his birthday last year, 1st November is his birthday. And last year I wrote a LinkedIn post on his birthday, and in that I had written about micro chimerism, that how child and mother are very deeply connected, because at the time of birth, and not just at the time of birth but even during the pregnancy, a child's cells travel into mother's body and they stay there for decades. Even after a child is born. So somewhere I know that he's a part of me, physically also. So that's how I had written that post. And I did not expect, I received hundreds and hundreds of people reaching out to me. And I was like really touched that on LinkedIn, first of all, I was little skeptical of putting that post on LinkedIn. But because it's a professional platform, but it was so well received and so touched so many people that I finally wrote that okay, I wanted to express this simply because it came somewhere from my soul. And you should express what you want to express, which comes from the depth of your soul. Whatever needs to be expressed, you need to express at the risk of being vulnerable. And this was so personal. This is a very personal thing that my kid crossed over. I lost my kid physically. But at the same time, something very personal can be universal and it can help other people. And how I channelize my grief into helping other people, I wanted to share that in my book. And so the book is about multiple things. One is it's about mother-child relationship. It's about the lineage that we have from mother's side, father's side, the DNA. There is a lot of science research I have included in my book about gene expression and DNA and how parenting affects the gene expression and vice versa, how education affects the gene expression and vice versa. So this book is about all of that, and this the book it's a very practical, hands-on kind of book. So it's not just a book you read, but there are journal prompts, there are meditation scripts, there are visualization scripts. So you can use that book for essentially growing and expanding your consciousness and connecting with Mother Earth, because mother-child relationship, we also have, Earth is a sentient being. So many, many people don't know this, but Earth is not just a planet, it's a being. It has its own consciousness. And currently we are ascending as a Earth into higher dimension. And that's the reason probably there is so much chaos happening, especially after 2020. There's a huge turbulence happening across the world. And we are ascending as a Earth. So how to connect with Mother Earth and how to connect with other beings and bring out that deeper connections. So this book is all about that, essentially. And in the end, I have talked about how education needs to change to include not just the, we are now educated and trained only for work, but it should include holistic well-being of a person, mental, physical, emotional health, and overall well-being. So the book is kind of, it covers all of these aspects.
Okay, now that's a lot to read, lot of interesting stuff that you've put together. No wonder it's a bestseller, so I'm not at all surprised. I'm sure there are a lot of people who resonated with what you wrote. And you just said that the earth is ascending, and that's why there's so much of chaos and confusion. So when it comes to climate change, all these wars that are currently happening, water crisis that is there looming large over us, loneliness and depression with the young adult community. So, with all of this happening, is all of this indicative of this ascending process of the earth, that segmented parts of our population and specific challenges are hitting certain cross sections in society? Is that an indicator?
Yes, because what is happening is all the paradigms and constructs are getting disintegrated. So when you think about consciousness, consciousness includes the good and the bad, the good and the evil, the positive and the negative. So all the polarity is part of consciousness. So this has always been there. But what happened here is Earth is a planet where there is free will. And how you use that free will is up to us as a humanity. And so many of us have misused that. And we didn't take care of the climate, the environment here. We didn't live by the values of love and peace and looking out and caring for each and every, means for others also. So that is the reason why we are here. And when we are ascending, what is happening is actually there is a split that is happening. So people who are resisting the change towards unity consciousness and still staying in the paradigm of hatred, anger, whatever, violence, all these things will stay back in the lower vibration. And the souls or the people who are following and moving towards the values of love, peace, abundance, freedom, bliss, these kindness, compassion, empathy, they all will move into ascending earth, that is the higher dimensional earth. So actually, as we are talking, that split is happening right now. And it is happening at a subtle level. So suddenly you will not tomorrow wake up and say, oh, I'm in fifth dimension. Oh, I'm in third dimension. You will not understand that. It is an internal shift. So it requires a lot of awareness about yourself and everything around you. And only with that awareness, you will observe these subtle shifts. And of course, there is guidance available. So as I keep, and that is one of the my messages all the time, I tell people that apart from the coaches and teachers who are physically here to guide you, you have guidance from the spiritual realm. You have your higher self, the universe or God guiding you. If you don't connect with the unmanifest form of God, then connect with manifest form. There are deities, then there are ascended masters, there are spirit guides and angels. Connect with them, and you will receive guidance when you sit in silence and connect with them. And the universe gives you signs. So ask for signs. So simple signs that they can be flowers, they can be rainbows, butterflies, or you can ask for signs, specific signs, and you will get specific signs. And when you start aligning yourself towards this moving into higher, ascending into higher vibration, higher consciousness, the unity consciousness. When you start doing that, synchronicities also start happening. So you will start meeting people and you will start having these situations in life. Like, for example, I had never ever planned to write a book in this, I mean, in this way. And let alone become a bestseller or something. I wrote it in 1 month. And within the next month, it organically means it became a bestseller. And I had not planned it. Another thing which happened, for example, I wanted to set up a foundation in my kid's name because there is a lot of work, like you said, that right now teens and young adults need in terms of there's so much of stress, anxiety, fear. That is panic that is there in the world, and there is a lot of exposure to dark social media and other things. So the world is complex right now, and navigating that, teens and young adults need that help. And that's why one of the things that I wanted to do through my foundation is educating young adults and teens and work with them. Through science and spirituality interventions. So I wanted to set up that foundation and I was guided to set it up in the US. And I was in US for a few months, but I was visiting there. And I did not know anything how to set it up there. And I consulted a couple of attorneys and I was like a little taken aback by the legal fees and the charges and everything there, and I was wondering what to do. And synchronicities happened. In one of the coaching sessions, I met somebody who said that I help nonprofit. I help people set up nonprofit, and she helped me to do it without charging me anything. And I met her in one of the coaching sessions. In 5 minutes, literally, we discovered this, and then we exchanged the numbers, and then. She helped me do it in a day. So these things like this, these are all synchronicities, and the universe works with you for this once you start aligning yourself for the higher good and for your life purpose.
That's true. That's true. But more than anything else, Akanksha, from 2020 to 2022, almost 2 years, the world went through turmoil as one. Everyone had their own challenges, and the pandemic was the common fear factor. But everyone had their own challenges that they faced, and they learned their lesson. Well, the perils of losing it is happening back again with people getting back into what they were. But that apart, this podcast also was born in the pandemic. So a lot of reflection of looking for people who have connected to that uniqueness and individuality that each of us carries was what the quest was when I got onto this podcast journey. And I've been completely humbled with the kind of people that I've met on this journey. People I did not know when I set out, but today are very good friends. And when you are looking back at those years, a lot shifted in you in those years as well. So if there are any reflections from the pandemic, what would they be?
Oh, there are many. As I said, like it's not just the pandemic, because like my world turned upside down after my kid crossed over. It was like I lost my life. I felt like I lost my life. And during the pandemic, he was still there when it started, and that brought us closer, I would say. So one thing that pandemic did was, even though when we were disconnected with the world outside, it brought us closer to ourselves. One thing is that it helped us reflect on who we are, what are we here to do. So deeper quests, it started with that. And I admire how you started this podcast and how each individual is, in their unique way, sharing their gifts and their talents or their purpose with the world, what they're here to do. So during the pandemic, we learned to be also independent, I would say, because so many things we had to take care of ourselves when the normal support was not available. So those were some of the things that happened. Deeper connections happened within the family, because the families got closer. You could not talk, go out, do anything else. So that thing happened. So there are so many things that happened, I would say, on the good front. But of course, there were a lot of repercussions that happened alongside, and the rise of social media, then the rise of lobbies and vaccines and pharma companies doing their own monopolizing and all that. So a lot has happened at the collective level, and a lot has happened at the individual level. It has happened at both the level, and the reflections are there in terms of both positive as well as negative at both the levels, I would say, from the pandemic. For me, the added challenge was, I wouldn't even say challenge, because I, as I said, like I felt that I literally died when my son crossed over. It was very difficult for me to, initially for the 6 7 months, I could not sleep at all. And through that, I in the past 3 years, I have grown so much. I did complete professional certifications, which helped me personally also. On my personal healing, I have worked a lot on my healing after this. And essentially, you need to work on yourself constantly. So just saying that, okay, this is what it is, and this is the situation, and what can I do? And I'm a victim of this situation. If you take that perspective, then that is what life will show to you. Okay, this is the situation. What is it that I need to learn from it? And what is it that I can contribute to help myself and others? That is the way forward, I think, from all of this.
Very true. It's going beyond us to the world at large. And as we come to the end of this amazing conversation with you, Akanksha, three life lessons that you'd like to leave us with.
Okay. One is that find out who you are, because that's where everything is. Find out who you are and express your truth authentically in this world. Find out your life purpose and align your life with your life purpose, and expand your consciousness. We are not just physical body. We are multidimensional beings. So expand your consciousness and, reach that unity consciousness so that you help yourself and you help others. That I would say these are the things that I have learned, and also is my message to the world.
As we're concluding the conversation, beautiful life lessons, Akanksha, but I'm curious to know, what are you doing to live your purpose?
Thank you so much. You've talked a lot during this time. And my life purpose is to help people expand consciousness and rewire mind, raise vibration, and enrich well-being, live a life of abundance and freedom. So how I'm doing it is I'm doing it through multiple ways. One is through my book. As an author, I am spreading that knowledge. The second is as a coach, mentor, trainer. I'm actually coaching, training, and mentoring young adults, teens, but in general, everybody. I'm now launching a program for women entrepreneurs to have a business that is soul aligned. And what can you do to handle all your entrepreneurial or business challenges? So that is something that I'm doing now. So education and well-being are the areas that I focus on. And the third thing I'm working on, or third medium that I'm working through, is my foundation, which I've set up for my kid, Arnav Memorial Foundation. And there we help, again, with focus on teens, young adults, and women currently. Focus on educating them to enrich their well-being, health, all physical, mental, emotional health, and well-being, holistic well-being, through science interventions, including science research and educating them. So, education interventions. So, for example, we had done collaborations. You might have heard about Sindhutai Sabka. And so we had done programs for their kids, orphanage kids. Then we give meals in orphanages. There were certain programs which I did in women entrepreneurs community, like there were initiatives for 21 days on being centered living and well-being initiatives. Then recently I was asked to be a judge for judging the contest which kids had created videos on Upanishads. So teens and preteens, they had created videos on Upanishads. So spreading Indian scriptures or ancient knowledge and wisdom to world through younger generation. So that is also something that we are doing through the foundation. So I am working on different levels as an author, as a founder of Mind and Beyond, which is my coaching, training, mentoring venture, and as a founder of my foundation, that is Arnav Memorial Foundation. So I do my bit through all these initiatives and programs.
That's a lot that you're giving yourself for and making a difference. Akanksha, when you speak, I remember a quote that my friend had sent me when I told her that suddenly things seem to be falling in place. She has sent me this beautiful quote, which is a constant reminder to me, which reads, "Coincidences, synchronicities, and serendipities are all signs from the universe that you are on your true path." And that's exactly what is happening with you. And that's what you asked us to look for as well. Thank you so much for just being who you are and sharing so willingly. All the very best on your journey further. And whatever you are planning to, may the divine blessings be with you. Honored to have had you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. With all best wishes. Thank you, Akanksha, for this conversation.
Thank you so much, likewise, and all the best to you too, and lots of love and lots of blessings. And may your podcast reach all those who are meant to receive this, all these beautiful messages from different individuals and through you. So you're doing such a great work. So thank you.
Thank you, Akanksha. Take care. With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.